Good morning and welcome to this glorious day of celebration. The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. I want to direct your attention to 1 Peter 1:3-9. We're going to be just dipping into this text. But I just have to tell you that Easter changes everything, doesn't it? Hebrews 2 verse 15 says, He might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the course of their lives. Be being set free? Well, let's just hold that thought for a moment. But I have to tell you, because of Resurrection Day, because of the Easter story, it isn't the end of his story. At the end of his funeral, Winston Churchill, a service that he planned himself, a solitary trumpeter played taps at the western door of the chapel, symbolic of the setting sun. I guess a fitting song for Churchill's life of service. There was a few moments of silence, but then, breaking the silence, came the sound of another trumpet, this time at the eastern chapel door, playing the first call, the reveille, the morning wake-up song for the light of a new day. How are you feeling this morning? After all the powers of darkness had had their day and did their worst, Jesus shattered their power, he threw off their chains, and he rose into a dawn of a new day for every man and woman. Easter changes everything, doesn't it? But how? We have new life in Jesus now. Through Christ's resurrection, we have access to his courage, his love, and his strength, everything we need to change and to change the world. Because we are living in Jesus, we're not just a definition of the living church, but also a demonstration of it. And that's incredible. I find that so incredible. Easter is a present reality for those of us in Christ. For now, for eternity, and indeed it changes everything. When I was being taught golf, at first I had a problem with my follow-through. When I hit the ball, instead of bringing the club on through to complete the swing, I sometimes stopped or slowed down as soon as I got to the ball, and the ball would sail off out of bounds. It seems to be the case in a lot of sport. What's the issue? Momentum. The follow through. Do you know, I've seen many people look at Christian life in much the same way. You spend a lot of time looking for an experience. Sometimes you have these and you're away and everything's great. Then suddenly you begin to slow down. You get slower and slower until, well, finally you stop. You find yourself out of bounds, out of touch of resurrection life. The experience hasn't followed through to a living, vibrant life and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Easter Saturday faith begins to appear. We seem to be suspended between the bad news of Good Friday and the wonderful good news of the resurrection. The roadside is littered with countless Christians who are in an Easter Saturday existence. They haven't allowed God to follow through his promises in their lives. Don't you know? Easter changes everything. You're meant to be free. He might deliver and completely set free all those who've been in bondage. Easter Saturday. Well, not much is said about this day, but I have to tell you, many have lived this part of the Easter story even without knowing it. You check it out. You check it out in your own life, your church life, and so much will be closely mirrored this day. Nothing. No news, no life, no momentum, or so we think. So much of our human, man-made experience. Yet we have a God who knows what it is to be entombed, a God who has been in the in-between space and conquered it and rose above it. So can you imagine Jesus follows entombed as him on that long Easter Saturday? Even the very first thing, that first Easter day. If ever there was a moment of despair, it was here. Their dreams had been dashed. Their expectations had been shattered. it must have felt desperate. That feeling is more common than we might care to admit, though. The promises of Jesus are clear to hear, but sometimes it's hard to believe he'll bring to completion. Jesus came to restore a broken world, but the diseases and disasters and death that surround us leave us asking the questions one asks on Easter Saturday. You know, if Jesus stayed in the tomb, our hope would be buried with him. But Jesus didn't stay buried. The Christian faith is an Easter Sunday faith. As the women arrived at the tomb on Easter morning, they heard the most life-changing words ever uttered. He has risen. He's not here to deliver us and completely set us free from the bondage, particularly the bondage of death. As a leadership, we had an away day a couple of weeks ago. We entitled the away day, No Going Back. No Going Back to Church. The whole premise of this is that we're not going back. Going back to the story. Going back doesn't complete, you see. We need to go forward. We need God to follow through on his promises. And the main thrust of this whole initiative was that we can't live on the memories of the past. There's a call to have an up-to-date walk with God. We need to move forward. And I praise God this morning, there's an Easter Sunday that follows an Easter Saturday. God's follow-through. We need to know it, capture it, and feel the momentum through it. Are people prepared to trust the risen Lord with their life again, being free to do so? He might deliver and completely set free all those who, through the haunting fear of death, were held in bondage all of their lives. Jesus has done this, having defeated the greatest enemy through the cross, through his death, and by rising again on the third day. Hallelujah. In 1917, the communists violently swept to power in Russia. They embarked on a ruthless campaign to silence and eradicate Christianity. It was illegal for Christians to meet, and those who disobeyed did so under threat of death. In the early 1920s, the Bolshevik Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address a vast anti-God rally. For a solid hour, he spoke against Christianity, hurling argument, ridicule, and abuse. When he finished, he looked out on what seemed to be the smouldering ashes of men's faith, beaten into submission. Nonetheless, questions were invited. An elderly priest of the Orthodox Church stood up and began to move forward to the front. The audience was silent as the priest began to look all around. He got onto the platform and he faced the people and he gave them the ancient Easter greeting. Christos enest ek nekron. Christ is risen from the dead. Instantly, the whole vast assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back like a crash of breakers over everything that Nikolai Bukharin had said. Lethos aneste. He is risen indeed. Nikolai Bukharin's mistake, and the mistake of many, was to treat the Christian faith like an ideology, looking as it were for Jesus Christ among the dead. There are those who regard Jesus as the greatest man who ever lived, but who then died. That won't do. Jesus isn't dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. He isn't merely a hero of the past. He's a living reality. The Lord of the present, King of kings and Lord of lords is he. And he's someone to be met and to be lived with every day. And that's what Easter is all about. He changes everything. Ever thought where the disciples were that first Easter Saturday? Grieving, mourning their loss, locked away, perhaps fearing execution, grappling with guilt, held in their own failures and denials, their hopes dashed. Even Easter Day, we still hear it from them on the road to Emmaus. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Sadly, not unlike how some Christians feel today. Many still isolated in fear, or grappling with failure, or discovered that they're now broken and beyond repair, weak, not as strong as they should be. We're feeling more an absence of God as the presence of God. Sadly, it's an echo of Easter Saturday faith. Max Lucado wrote, "Saturday's silence torments us. Is God angry? Did I disappoint him? God knows Jesus is in the tomb. Why doesn't he do something? Or, in your case, God knows your career is in the tank. Your finances are in the pit. Your marriage is in a mess. Why doesn't he act? What are you supposed to do until he does? You do what Jesus did. Lie still. Stay silent. Trust God. Turn towards God of the follow-through. I'm down, but I'm not out. We believe in a God who loves us even though we have sinned, and he longs to discipline, forgive, heal, and restore. We believe that God brings light even out of darkness, triumph out of tragedy, freedom from captivity, as our text has said. And if Easter Sunday is about anything, it's about this. And now we live with the hope of God's sovereign intervention. Ephesians 2 says, "But now in Christ, you who once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility." It's amazing, isn't it? "But now in Christ Jesus." Notice the difference. Once you were apart from Christ, but now you are no longer foreigners, living without hope and without God. Ours is a living hope. Ours is a vibrant, vital, living relationship with Jesus Christ. Easter confirms the Lord will follow through what he has promised. He will intervene and he will deliver. God will remain faithful. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Wow, what a difference Easter makes. What we've yet to become. Excited about that? You should be. No, God isn't looking for a church that's self-serving, afraid to change, hostile to diversity, and determined to die safely and quietly and live in Easter Saturday. Rather, for one that takes the risk of loving and living boldly, and pioneering, moving forward as God dictates, going through with God of the fall through. Restoration is experienced when a person or a community is set free from the disappointing restraints of Easter Saturday faith, from the broken dreams of unmet expectations. Because he lives, we live also. Be a day for building your walls and extending your boundaries. Lindsay Clegg tells the story of a warehouse property he was selling. The building had been empty for months and needed repairs. And as he showed a prospective buyer the property, Clegg took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, clean out the rubbish. And he went on at length, saying what he would do. The prospective buyer said, "Forget about the repairs. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want this building. I want the site." And I believe God is saying to us, he doesn't want the old building, the old life, the old happy place. That old life is over. He makes all things new. God wants the site and permission to build something completely new, to bring about change. You know, we have a vision here at Megger to push back the walls, to claim back the land. What land? Well, of course, it's the land the enemy had occupied. You know yourself how wonderful it is, your own life, when through God's power you've defeated the enemy and all the freedom you felt, the space you had more freedom in. You were free. You were free. Free from that prison that had been bound up for years. This is the forward look. The follow through from being Easter Saturday exiles to the day when the turmoil would be no more and rebuilding will commence. Notice after the work of righteousness and the enemy's defeat that the day the building will come. Can I ask, are there any legacies, any enemies that still need to be conquered? The very reason why Jesus rose from the dead. He has conquered the last enemy. So that must mean all other enemies have been defeated. Praise his name. But you still might be asking, can this still happen? Easter Sunday tells me we have a God of the fall through and we need to pick up the momentum. By the way, if we're claiming back the land, we need to be fit to occupy it. Easter changes everything, doesn't it? Dr. Martin Luther King said, Good Friday may occupy the throne for a day, but ultimately it must give way to the triumph of Easter. And I suspect we could say the same about Easter Saturday. In Christ's resurrection, there's always the hope and promise of new life and new beginnings. There's promise and hope that morning always follows the darkest night, joy follows the deepest sorrow, and dancing follows the weeping. But I have to tell you, where there's no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. Do you remember Peter? Peter didn't do too well the start of the first Easter. Is there any hope? He promised never to abandon Jesus, but denied knowing Jesus three times. But when the reality of Easter finally hit him, you know what he said? Well, he wrote it down in 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to his Easter Saturday experience of fear, uncertainty, Peter reminds us of the power of Easter resurrection story. Listen, new birth into a living hope. Those are exceptionally powerful words. And someone has said the task ahead is never as great as the power behind. We're not just celebrating the glorious day in history. We're seizing this day and all that it means, making it our own. Peter was saying, despite what you're going through, this still remains God's yes for you. Someone has said the great gift of Easter is hope, Christian hope, which makes us have that confidence in God, in his ultimate triumph and in his goodness and love, which nothing whatsoever can shake. A hope that transforms your life. The word hope is translated from the Greek, means expectation, anticipation, confidence. And my friends, it's yours by right. You were born into it, or I should say, reborn into it. It's the start of a glorious inheritance. By our first birth, we were born sinners. We grew up to be rebels. Couldn't please God no matter how hard we tried. So God caused us to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. By a new birth, we were born as children of God. We received a new nature of servants, but even more of sons and daughters. That's why I'm calling you to seize it again, afresh, again, anew today. It's yours by right. Jesus walked out of the tomb on the first Easter day. Or as we sing, see what a morning, gloriously bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. What a morning indeed. The reality of this needs to be ours today. Allow God into your lifeless Easter Saturday existence and be set free. Hope that's alive because it's in Christ. What reassuring words, new birth into a living hope. Is that revival? Well, I have to say, I believe revival can come to the church when we are thoroughly saturated with the hope held out to us in the gospel through the resurrection, the hope embodied in Christ. When we are again saturated with Christ's energizing presence, the church is propelled in hope, in love, to nothing less than advancing the gospel among the nations. I like what Kierkegaard, the great Danish philosopher, said about hope. His definition, hope is a passion for the possible. Easter Saturday is the threshold between the terror and pain and trauma of Good Friday and the explosive, unexpected joy of Easter Sunday. You can be born again into living hope, an everlasting hope, a fadeless hope through Jesus Christ's resurrection. What Jesus did with his own grave, his Easter Saturday existence, he promised to do with yours. Empty it. He might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. We've been held long enough. It's time to be free. Easter changes everything, doesn't it?